Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning. This is Melissa with Talk with Trinity, a show that is dedicated to the education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all individuals. I'm Melissa Enigdy Berry. Trinity Counseling Services is our sponsor, 1801 North Tryon Street, Suite 311B, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28206, and 508 Holly Hill Lane, Suite 102E, Burlington, North Carolina, 27215. We always start off when giving honor to our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. We just want to thank Him for allowing us to wake this morning. We just want to thank Him for keeping us safe through the night and as we travel to the firm on the highways. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you go with us and just put a hedge of protection all about us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, rather this month, is Mental Health Awareness Month. We are hosting a workshop on May the 26th from 12 until 2. We host a workshop every fourth Thursday at our location in Charlotte, North Carolina. And there's also a showing of Call Me Crazy. That's going to be at University City Library this afternoon at 4:30. Low tire pressure. This afternoon, I got distracted. I'm in a vehicle, and I don't know what the low tire pressure is on it. Let me see where I was in. I got distracted. Call Me Crazy is it's about mental awareness, mental health awareness, and it's going to be a showing at University City Library, 4:30 to 6:30. Let's see. Mental Health Awareness Month. Well, that just unnerved me just slightly. Here I am. I'm driving on the highway at a good rate of speed, and the vehicle, which I am not used to, has given me a warning sign of low tire pressure. I walked around it, and I hope that there's not a nail in the tire, and if it is, I'll know what to do it myself, other than calling AAA, hopefully. That'll work out in my favor, but then I'll be on the side of the road. Hope the tire doesn't blow out while I'm on the highway. So I have some concerns. So this is creating a bit of anxiety. Now, I was going to share about post-traumatic stress disorder and talk about veterans and that as a mental health disorder. There are several. If you Google the DSM-5, a Diagnostic Statistical Manual, number 5, or even number 4, or number 4 TR, number 4, number 3, and the different revised versions, what that is a book that doctors, therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists, counselors, peer support, mental health, social work, all of these individuals use this particular manual, and I say a manual, but it's really very thick, 500 pages or better, and it's divided into different categories of disorders. You have anxiety disorders, you have mood disorders, you have psychotic disorders, you have substance use disorders, you have childhood disorders, you have adult onset disorders. There are even disorders in there about sleep. There's disorders in there there were disorders in there to deal with autism. There are disorders in there, pretty much anything that you can think of, obsessive compulsive disorders, the wide variety of disorders that are found in the Diagnostic Statistical Manual. And the way that they are listed is in that order, in categories, and then there are individual ones where they're separated by their symptoms. Now, as a substance abuse counselor, there have been some different changes in the diagnostic or the diagnosis of substance use disorder over a period of time. There were ones specific to whatever drug it was, whether it be amphetamine or methamphetamine or stimulants, which are stimulants, depressants, narcotics, psychotics. So depending on that, and so then symptomology came from where you say, I began to have a physical tolerance, or I began to have withdrawal symptoms, or I'm using them more than I mean to, or I've lost control of them. I'm not able to stop when I say I want to, or they're causing problems in my life, or they're causing problems in my home, or they're causing problems at school. And so many of the disorders, the question is asked as to what problems that it is causing in an individual's life. And so when you present your problem with mental health and any other, even with like a doctor, you go to a doctor and say, well, listen, I have a fever, I'm feeling congested, my head is stuffed. You know, and then the doctors say, well, what have you tried? The same thing applies for many of the mental health disorders. The question is the same. What have you tried to do to alleviate your symptoms? And so with substance use disorders, well, I've tried to quit. With mental health disorders, you know, those come a lot quieter or a lot more confusing. Because, say, for example, there's a person who can't maintain a job. If you look on the internet and you look up, say, maybe a social anxiety disorder, that's an individual who, say, may be doing customer service, maybe working in a restaurant, and get overwhelmed when there's a lot of people that are coming in and making orders. And the boss starts yelling at them, and so then they ultimately just leave, like, or get fired. And so then the next thing that they do is they may not go towards another customer service job. Say they maybe try to do construction, say, and then they're on a job and the construction requires them to be with a lot of the coworkers and on a job where you have a lot of things that are going on, and they're being yelled at by the foreman and yelled at by the supervisor, and there's pressure on the job. And so then when they get off of work, they go and they drink, and it alleviates the symptom of anxiousness, and so then that works. And so then the person figures out, well, that's almost medicinal. When I get off of work, I can relax by drinking a beer, when the original concern may have been the fact that they became overwhelmed on the job and couldn't produce. But because they, you know, it's a responsible thing to do or whatever, then they knew they had to work. But then it gets to be too much, and then the next thing you know, they quit or get fired from that job, and so then it progresses, and so you may not see any of this stuff that is happening until later, and then the individual tries to figure out, and then at that point they may be drinking or using whatever drug has helped alleviate those symptoms, and then they they move on, or they find their niche, or they say, well, okay, I've got, I can work in construction, but, when I leave work, I'm going to drink. And then the symptoms of the drinking become, when I stop, I shake. And then when I shake, I can't go to work. And, and the cycle goes on and on and on. With mental health awareness, if you got individuals that are presenting symptoms or things that seem confusing, then what you want to tell them is, why don't you go and talk to someone? And one of the interventions will be, let's sit down and let's look at these areas of your life that have been affected. I pulled off some statistics about the prevalence of mental illness, and it says approximately 1 in 5 adults in the U.S. are 43.8 million, 18%, 18.5% experiences mental illness in a given year. It says approximately 1 in 25 adults in the U.S., 10 million, or 4.2%, experiences a serious mental illness in a given year that substantially interferes with or limits one or more major life activities. And then it even goes on to say approximately 1 in 5 youth, these are young people ages 13 to 18 or 21.4% who experiences a severe mental disorder at some point during their life. And then for children from age 8 to 15, the estimate is 13%. 1.1% of adults in the U.S. live with schizophrenia. 2.6% of adults in the U.S. live with bipolar disorder. It says 6.9% of adults in the U.S. 16 million had at least one depressive episode, one major depressive episode in the past year. 18.1% of adults in the U.S. experience an anxiety disorder, such as post-traumatic stress disorder, obsessive-compulsive disorder, or specific phobias. And then among the 20.2 million adults in the U.S. who have experienced a substance use disorder, it said that 50.5% had a co-occurring mental illness. And you can find these statistics on www.nami.org. Learn more mental health by the numbers. So you think about this is so those are some really interesting statistics. And I asked individuals to call in 347-945-5924 because I would have to hear it beep in order for me to answer it. But you know, you can call in or you can email at melissatrinitycounseling@gmail.com and ask any questions. You can write me a note. You can ask, or you can look up these resources that I am mentioning, and then, or you can look at trinitycounselingcharlotte.com towards the end of the week, and I'll have these statistics posted under the Blog Talk Radio. I met with some people on last week who are all in prevention and working with veterans, and I was like, okay, call in, and we'll talk about post-traumatic stress syndrome, which many people think is specific to the veterans and individuals that are have served in the military, both current and active and inactive. But post-traumatic stress syndrome being multiple symptoms, post is after the fact, after the trauma, stress. So you say, well, who do you think would experience some of those issues? Well, for one, individuals who have been in the military who may have seen people get blown up or those bombs underneath their vehicles, and maybe they've been the only one to survive. But then it goes on to individuals, say, maybe who survived, oh, I don't know, a hurricane like Katrina, where watching people washed away or floating down in front of them or trying to get to them and not able to. Individuals who been raped. That's a trauma. Individuals who are sexually assaulted. I read the news way, way too much. Read the internet way, way too much. But when you read about things like 3 people shot in a club, that's what I read. That was the last thing I read this morning. They were hanging out and 3 people had gunshot wounds inside the club. And it was a ladies' club with people in there. And didn't say how many people were in there, but and it didn't say if they were life-threatening or otherwise, but just the fact that being in a club, minding your business, drinking, and gunfire, and whether it was targets or not, you don't know. So now you feel like, okay, what to do? Or, you know, someone who feels comfortable at school, parents have sent them away to get an education. And while they're there, they're just walking back from class and someone grabs them and pulls them into the woods. Or, you know, you're just hanging out, you know, uptown and then someone walks up to you. Or you meet someone and you think they're cool and then you invite them over and then they rape you. Or, you know, you're working and someone comes in and decides they want to rob the place with a weapon. Or, you know, we always think of the heinous, more heinous acts, you know, or the more traumatic acts, you know, like the Twin Towers falling or, you know, hurricanes or earthquakes. you know, or the individuals that were living in the home, and the brother got sucked into a sinkhole and died. Another brother couldn't get him out. All of those are traumatic events. So then the post part of that is, after it's over with, you know, then there are other issues that come about. Could you have done something different? And depending on how long you replay those things in your mind, will give you the symptoms. And so, and then depending on who you have around you, someone who's experienced miscarriage, I count that as a trauma too. So you have women's issues, men's issues, different, just regular issues. And if you say you're with some individuals that don't believe in counseling, they say, well, you know, just talk to God about it and he'll make it all right. And he will. You know, just, you know, cast your cares upon him and he'll do what he needs to do. And he will. But if you're not able to even tell God or tell anyone else what you're thinking and what you're feeling, and then you're holding on to it, and then you find yourself not sleeping well, and then the only way you're able to sleep well is if you take medicine. The only way you're able to interact with others is being under the influence, or you start to isolate, or you start to hoard. You know, a lot of times obsessive compulsive disorder is started by the hoarding aspect of it. Is when something happens, then, you know, you try to hold on to it because that's the only thing you have control over. And then there you are in mental illness. And so, but how do you go about finding people to talk to? And is it expensive? And is it going to be beneficial? And then you're always thinking in your mind, you know, I'm going to be okay. All I need is time. Or you may have people around you that say that it's not important, you know, not to worry about it. And things like that, or just kind of go on. But, you know, you just kind of replaying your mind over and over. I got a friend of mine, this is kind of random but not, that is taking her orals and, you know, in our sharing. And I fully understand anxiety, being nervous or being fearful, being insecure about different things. And knows her stuff. I mean, just knows her stuff. But when the voices are louder in your head to tell you that you don't know anything, that kind of defeats you, and it inhibits you from, you know, being at your full potential, and which is what mental illness does. Or if you don't know that what you're presenting and the symptoms, how you're thinking and how you're feeling, may actually have a root cause to them, then you're going to continue to experience things in the same way. It's going to create failures, which then is going to compile whatever it is that is inhibiting you. And so you say, well, where do you find mental illness in the Bible? Again, this show is sponsored by Trinity Counseling Services, 1801 North Tryon Street, Suite 311B, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28206. 704-333-2446 or 508 Holly Hill Lane, Suite 102E, Burlington, North Carolina, 272-15-336-675-0075. Those are the numbers you can call in. I'll talk to you for about 30 minutes and let you know where to go from there. But when you come in and you identify, you say, well, where can you find, If God is capable, if you believe in God, and God is capable of doing all that, where do you find mental illness in the Bible? You find it in a lot of places. You find anxiety in there. You find depression in there. You find schizophrenia in there. You find it talks about individuals that went mad. That they were possessed or with demons, and no one could be around them, and so they ultimately ended up being isolated, you know, from other people, and nobody knew how to help them, you know, but God, but Jesus, you know, he went and delivered them from those demons, and so you say, well, Where is that found in the Bible? And there are so many different scriptures. If you you just kind of look up mental illness in the Bible. It comes up, and it says, if you're insecure, Mark 11:24-25 says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. You know, that really speaks about holding on to those resentments that might cause a bit of depression, or, you know, might cause all those problems. And then Proverbs 23:29-32 says, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who carry long over wine. Those who go to try to mix wine, do not look at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup and goes down smoothly. It says, in the end, it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. That's pretty good. Says, for who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct them? But we have the mind of Christ. You know, the mind of Christ was not affected by what the devil was trying to do, asking all these questions and presenting them with all those choices. You know, Jesus is able to stay focused on what God told him. And Romans 8:28 says, and we know for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. And we are all called, we are under Christ and under God. And so in anything we go through, we know it works together for good. We go through a traumatic event, it's just so not to just kind of
make us downtrodden. It's to so that we can just glorify God and just thank him and let people know that he can save, you know, you, and he can protect you, and he can keep you, and it gives you wisdom. When you experience something traumatic, then you become more aware. Maybe not more suspect, but I was telling an individual, I am a supervisor over some interns, brand new to the field of drugs and alcohol, and do not realize the entanglement that can occur with the disease of addiction and alcoholism, which is really by itself not a very powerful say spirit, but with everything else that comes with it, it can become more powerful, so much so that it entangles the mind. It entangles the emotion. And if you are a Christian and you desire for individuals to be saved, because that is our mission, to go out and help others to know Christ, then you have an opportunity to do so with individuals that have experienced drugs and alcohol. By all means, these individuals you know, are entangled and really need to know the love of Christ in their lives. However, I shared with them that as much as my heart desires to do so, over a period of years, because I have overextended myself, I've gone completely to the opposite, become more callous and uncaring, almost to the point to where, regardless of what you tell me and what you say, I may not believe it, simply because individuals kind of present their minds towards you. And when they find out, oh, okay, then you're a Christian, you know, then you're going to think this way, act this way, or be this way by me, you know. And I told them, I said, well, everybody wants everybody to be saved, but we don't have to be the ones that do it. Scripture tells us that some plant, some water, and God will give the increase. And so this, we have to decide what is our job is. Is our job to plant seeds, give information, or is our job to water the information that the individuals already have and then allow God to give the increase? And once we get all of that into line, and I told him, I said, you know, you haven't had the experiences that I have, not for nothing. And I said, so you won't realize what people are capable of doing. And here you're thinking everybody's straight men, straight shooters, and they're not. And vice versa. So you just kind of have to keep your mind on that. And then it says that in Matthew 11:28-30, it says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so if you find yourself being overburdened, know that Christ is not even there. And with mental illness, when individuals have that, that's a real thing. That may be a physical symptom. That may be something that's missing in the body. And by all means, I'm not telling anybody not to go to a doctor, not to get a medication, not to get the medication that they need, not to do the things they need to do for themselves physically and mentally, where they might have limitations or they might have needs for that. Just like for people who have diabetes, they need their insulin. If I told them, I say, you know what, God is going to heal you. Don't worry about taking your insulin. And then they're going to die because their body's not producing the insulin. Well, the same thing goes with an individual who may have, say, depression and doesn't have the juice in their body to allow them to be happy, or vice versa. They might have anxiety because they don't have the juice that allows them to turn off and continue to be more anxious. Well, by all means, you need the medication in order to alleviate that symptom, and then learning to live within that is most important for an individual that has that mental health disorder. And like I said, our original thought was, you know, talking about persons who have spent time in the military and maybe still dealing with things that they have seen over there, because with you know, any situation that you go through in the military otherwise, it conflicts what you already know. It conflicts with what you have experienced. It may conflict with your family upbringing. It may conflict with your values. And so all of these conflicts need to be alleviated. The way that they can be alleviated is through education, you know, learning about mental illness, learning about the disorders that you have. That's the first tier of Trinity, is the education. And then once you understand and have acknowledged what you have in the education, then the next thing is to be enriched, or the enrichment, which there is a value. It says everything works together for good to those who love God. And so that is a value, everything that you go through. It says count it all joy when you experience these different things, because it worketh patience, it worketh all of those things. So it says count it all joy. And so that you count it all joy that when you enter the diverse temptations, it says, because it helps you to gain the things when you can mature in Christ. And just, you can just immediately, instead of hesitating and saying, you know what, I might can handle this on my own, you can immediately go to God and say, God, I need your help. Here's the situation I can't deal with. Here's my frustration. Here's the confusion. Here's things that don't make sense. Here's all the things I've tried. And God, we just pray that we just right now just kind of help us to be able to deal with these situations. And then just asking them like that with mental illness, if it doesn't enable you to be able to do that, if you don't feel comfortable with talking to an individual, if you know someone who is experiencing mental illness and truly, truly needs help, then we just pray that God open their minds and just pray that God just puts people in their lives in order to help them to figure out the right way to go and the things in order to do. And that's the value of experiencing these things. And then the last part about it is telling the story, because that is testimony. That is letting people know that how you got over and God, how God helped in that situation, and just laying it out without shame, without guilt, without blaming. Just letting people know that this is what God did in my life, in dealing with myself, dealing with my family members. In the last few seconds, again, this show, Talk with Trinity, is every Thursday, 8 to 8:30, 347-945-5924. And in our last few seconds, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the wisdom, for the knowledge, for the instruction that you provide us on a weekly basis. We thank you for your word. We thank you for just coming into our lives. We thank you for our families. We thank you for all of our support. And Heavenly Father, as we go forward, just if it, anything that we ask, we just ask it of you. And we know that you are fully capable of doing it. And we just pray that you continue to bless us and keep us safe and protect us and watch over us and everything that we do and all that we go through. In Jesus' name we pray. We wish everyone a good, good day. Don't hesitate to write me, Melissa Trinity Counseling, Talk with Trinity, and we're out.